Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, Patriots are off to Denver where, you know, they've had some issues, we know, lately.
Absolutely. House of horrors for the team. Really, another really good defense, another really good test. But I think it's another opportunity, too, Fred. You know, with all the stuff they did against Baltimore, coming up with a huge win against a really good team, you have another opportunity to show that you are number one, without question, in the AFC.
Yeah, and as good as Denver's defense is, and it is good, they just opened up their offense against the league's best defense in Baltimore. So I like the spot. I like this spot. I think the Patriots go in there with that same attitude that we say Baltimore comes into Gillette Stadium with. We can win here, even though they've had their issues.
Even though they haven't, they need to prove they do have that attitude.
Right.
And I do think, as you see other teams stumble, the Raiders and Denver, the Cowboys, I think the Patriots, you knock off the Ravens in an impressive win, and then if you go on the road to Denver, I certainly think you say, we're in the driver's seat. Come beat us. We're head and shoulders above all you.
And I like the way I hadn't really thought of it, but we talk about Baltimore when they come here. They're not afraid. They're going to show up and play. And we saw that. They weren't afraid. And they came back. They got a fluky bounce to come back to springboard the comeback. But the Patriots have a similar record in Denver. But we know they're not afraid. They're going to go into Denver believing that they can win, expecting to win, even though they haven't had a lot of success there. I hadn't really thought about that, but I look at that in a very similar fashion.
Yeah, I mean, you look at last year, and they lost twice in Denver. Yeah. Now, the second time, they got blowed out. I mean, forget about the score. They didn't have a shot, and the offense was, you know, riddled with injuries. But that first game, remember, they went into that game 10-0, right? And it all turned on a Chris Harper muff punt because they were up by, what, 14 at the time?
21-7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so I think that they know they can win there, and it's just a matter of mentally playing a clean game in Denver, because if you make the mistakes, you're going to get killed.
And we learned that this year's team is capable of overcoming a muffed punt, because that's what opened the door for the Ravens. You were well on your way to a blowout victory. I still think in two phases of the game it was probably your best win of the year, offensively and defensively, but you know the special teams with the Cyrus Jones muff, and then the subsequent, after they get the touchdown, the Matt Slater, you know, fumble on the kickoff return, you open the door to give them a chance, because otherwise, I think you were just controlling that game quite easily.
Yeah, it's funny, because you had as many good special teams plays as you had bad in this game. You know, you set up with downing it, you know, like at the 1.5-yard line that set up the safety, and that really set the tone for your defense. You know, you had the block field goal off a guy who just doesn't miss. You know, so really two great special teams that took points off the board and put points on the board. And then you had those muffs that almost gave Baltimore the game.
Yeah, and I thought those overshadowed, you know, the good plays. And you absolutely pointed them out. And I would throw in Patrick Chung coming up with a big play to recover the onside kick on special teams, too, at the end, which ended the game. I mean, that's it. They put all their eggs in one basket. But I agree with Andy. This was a statement victory and a signature win. All the cliches that we throw out about the caliber of win. I don't really think the Patriots have been forced to play a team that most believe was a good, formidable opponent. As we said, all the cliches about the toughness, the mental toughness, and I thought that they came in and they really, after a slow start in the first quarter, I thought the safety turned the game, and I thought from that point on to the end of the second quarter was complete and total dominance. And I hadn't really seen that from the Patriots against that caliber of opponent, really all season. So
yeah,
I agree. I mean, people wanted to compare it to Houston, the 27-0 game. I thought this was far more impressive than that, because Houston handed them, a lot of their good field position.
Right.
The Patriots tried to hand Baltimore good field position, and they still were able to win the game.
And you know, we are concerned, and we should be, you know, what the offense would be without Gronk. But I think you showed here that, you know, they have enough weapons to beat a good defense. And you need all those weapons. I mean, if it was just Edelman and Bennett, they wouldn't have won this game. You know, but they relied on a lot of, you know, Brady relied on a lot of different people, over 400 yards passing, almost 500 total offense. And it wasn't just a couple guys.
And all making big plays. Yeah. You look down the line, I think five or six different guys had catches of 27 yards or longer. You know, Hogan has the obvious big play, but you had the James White catch and run, big play, sets up a touchdown. You know, Bennett had a big play. They all made big plays. Malcolm Mitchell comes on, and, you know, I don't know if I buy into sort of, I was started getting tweets that Brady is better without Gronk. The offense is better because he doesn't fixate. It's not that Moss thing where he just looks to get Gronk the ball. Well, he looks to get Edelman the ball. He still targets Edelman a ton. And generally, when that happens that often, there's sort of diminishing returns in that area. But I do think they are showing the ability to have a lot of trusted playmakers. And I think that's what's key. I don't know if they're better, but it doesn't look like you're ever going to get into a situation where Brady's on the field with a bunch of guys he doesn't want to throw to. I think he's proving he wants to throw to Hogan, wants to throw to Mitchell, wants to throw to the backs, is getting comfortable with Bennett, and I think that's a good thing long term.
As you have all that on film for defensive coordinators to look at, and you know you've got to defend the whole field.
And, oh, by the way, they ran the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I think some of us thought this was just going to be a pass game, the number one rush defense, and it's another game where LeGarrette Blount, it's not great, it's not perfect, but he gets you 18 carries in the end. He gets you a touchdown. When you need him to get a first down to close the door, he closes the door. They have the confidence that he's not going to fumble in that situation. So even that's an aspect what you mix in with the no huddle and all these other things. They're tough to prepare for.
Yeah, if you had told me heading into that game that Blount was going to get more than 10 carries, more than 15 carries even, I would have said the Patriots are going to be in total control in the fourth quarter. He's going to rack up 10 or 11 of those carries in the fourth quarter as they're just running the clock out with a three-score lead. That's not what happened. They were able, and again, Andy's right, the production wasn't great. I think the Ravens came in averaging 3.4 yards allowed, and the Patriots averaged 3.7. So it was about on average for what Baltimore generally allows. But the fact that they were able to keep pecking away and pecking away, and I thought Belichick earlier in the week made a good point. You know, you're setting up 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6. That's a lot better than 2nd and 9. And I know it doesn't sound like a big difference, but it is a big difference for the way they play offense, especially without Gronk. And I thought that, you know, Blount's production was good enough. And I thought just the fact that Josh McDaniels continued to call running plays, you end up getting a flea flicker later in the game. That helps. And I know that the play action really wasn't a part of that play. Weddle knew it was play action. He just wasn't ready where he was supposed to be. But that big play, the dagger to Hogan, was a play action pass. And who knows if that bothered somebody else on that play.
Well, I think this game sets him up well for a win in Denver.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart, the matchup is an obvious one. The Patriots return to the scene of the crime from last January. AFC title game loss. Why? Because the offensive line got their butts kicked. Remember back then it was Marcus Cannon and everyone wanted to run him out of town? Fast forward now to December a year later, Marcus Cannon has an extension. Marcus Cannon has been the most consistent Patriot and the offensive line seems to be rounding into form late in the year under Dante Scarnecchia's leadership. But the challenge is real. The Broncos lead the NFL in sacks per pass play. Von Miller is still great, 13 and a half sacks. Patriots offensive line has shown improvement over the course of the season, but the real test is this week.
There's going to be a lot of focus on the Patriots offensive line this week, and with good reason, but I think it's going to be just as big of a test for the Patriots receivers, especially without Rob Gronkowski. Still evolving on offense. They had a great performance against Baltimore. It's going to be even tougher on the road in Mile High. The Broncos secondary is as good as it gets in football. 12 interceptions this season, 7 of them from their top 3 corners, Tlaib, Harris, and Bradley Roby. A lot of pressure on guys like Julian Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell, and Chris Hogan. These guys are going to have to find a way to get open against tough coverage, and they're probably not going to have a lot of time to do it. So again, Tom Brady in those backs, Deion Lewis, James White, a lot on their plate this week. Can you put 2 really strong weeks together against elite defense?
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week, we're going to look at the defense. Paul Perillo, has it arrived? Is this a legit top 10 unit?
You know, I'm starting to think it is, and I've been pretty skeptical all season long. I know they've played against a lot of bad offenses, but I think what you've seen is Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick getting more and more comfortable with all the personnel, all the different subgroups, and I think they're finding roles for people. I'm liking what I've seen from guys like Kyle Van Noy and Shea McClellan. I don't think they're world beaters, but they're filling in admirably for the loss of Jamie Collins. I think the front is starting to get a little bit more pressure. Still would like to see a little bit more of that, but I think it is. I think this defense right now is playing worlds better than it did when it was achieving all of those great numbers early on.
Speaking of the numbers, I just don't buy it. I'm sorry. I don't buy that it's number two in points allowed. I know it is number two in points allowed, but I don't think it's as good as that ranking. Now, top 10, ninth ranking, yards allowed. They've picked up the pace a little bit the last few weeks on the takeaways. But I still am not sold that a good team, a good passing game, and I don't want to diminish the victory, but I wasn't impressed with Joe Flacco. I wasn't impressed with their ability to just throw the ball parallel to the line of scrimmage for some reason. You have this guy who sort of made his bones getting the ball down the field, and the few times he threw down the field, I thought there were open receivers. A couple different times it bounced either off the chest of Mike Wallace or right through his hands for an interception. I thought there were plays to be had there. I am still not completely sold. I still think there's a ton of personnel they're rotating through. I think there are opportunities to beat that personnel. I just don't buy the ranking.
I think it's starting to come together a little bit, and I think they're starting to play with a little bit more confidence and swagger. We all looked at each other when the ball is downed on the one-yard line. They said, they're going to get a safety on this play right here. Bang. You get a safety. I mean, I think that they're starting to feel a little bit more comfortable and confident in what they're being asked to do. And again, I like the way they swarm to the football, and they're pretty sure tacklers.
Love the tackling. Tackling is the strength of this defense. I think the weakness is still pass rush and coverage. I don't have a lot of faith in either. I still have the same fear I had all year. A team like the Raiders or a team like the Steelers that has a quarterback that can throw, that has receivers that can get open and catch and make plays, can beat you. I still think you're building false confidence right now.
Well, we'll find out if that's what it is, and we'll find out if any of those teams like the Raiders or the Steelers or, you know, one of the teams that can actually play offense can take advantage. But what I've seen, Andy, and I think that you're being a little dismissive of, is these are the kinds of offenses they played even as recently as a month ago and were much more productive than they've been now. And I thought, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, for example, I think is a terrible quarterback who I thought had his best day of the year against the Patriots, this same Patriots defense. That wasn't that long ago. So I have seen the strides. I have seen the confidence build. And I think that unless someone comes in here and plays a really good, solid game offensively, the Patriots defense is now good enough to be a complementary piece.
I think receivers can get open. The question is, can they catch the football? And you're right, it wasn't that long ago they made that Ryan Fitzpatrick look really good, and that's kind of my point. They've grown a little bit as the year's gone on. They haven't grown enough. I still have plenty of doubts.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Pro Bowl weekend. The NFL has all these players in one place. Now, what can they do with them that will get people to watch on TV? Because Lord knows, it's not the game. Enter dodgeball. That's right. On the Saturday before the Pro Bowl, we'll be treated to a game of dodgeball, NFL style. What could this possibly look like? Will they go with one size ball or a mixed lot? Will PSI come into play? When choosing teams, will captain's first choice be determined by one potato, two potato, or rock, paper, scissors? Will there be concussion protocol personnel on hand for when Eli Manning is caught staring off into space with his mouth open and Khalil Mack nails him with a fastball? Will Vince Wilfork's team simply hide behind him? Most important, what will Cam Newton wear afterwards? We'll know the answers to all these questions on January 26th when the NFL goes back to school.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Yeah, Patriots running back Deion Lewis this week. Deion, what has it been like getting back in the swing of things? You've been back on the field now for about a month or so. How's it feel?
Feels good. You know, making strides every day. Is happy to be back out there with my teammates, and I'm having a lot of fun, so I'm feeling good.
I know it's probably pretty exciting as the team is getting going, but just, you know, sort of looking back a little bit,
How difficult is it to go through the slow start of the season, you know, coming off PUP? How frustrating was that to sort of sit around and watch?
It was a little frustrating because I'm a competitor. As a competitor, you always want to play, but at the same time, you know, I didn't get down. I just kept working, and I knew that I'll be able to be back with the team soon, so I just kept working hard, and now I'm where I am now, so I couldn't ask for any more. Every week I'm feeling stronger. I'm getting stronger every weekend still, so I feel good. I feel normal again.
Now, the offense looks like it's developing a little bit of a sort of a different look with you and James occasionally being used together in those split backfields. What kind of problems do you think those present to the defense?
Well, just a little bit matchups-wise. Just give the defense something else to think about, something else to prepare for, and decide how they want to play us. So it's definitely great to have a guy like James back there. He's doing a great job. He's a great player. So it definitely gives a little edge on offense.
You guys look at some of the big plays you can create, and certainly you've done that a lot in the past. James had a huge one on Monday night against Baltimore. You guys sort of look at that and say, you know, can I get out there and see if I can get that matchup on a linebacker or something, some sort of matchup that you guys can exploit? You guys get excited when you see those kinds of opportunities?
Yeah, certain matchups, you know when you're going to get the ball for the most part, depending what the matchup is and what's the play and the game plan. So whenever we get an opportunity like that, got to make a great play out of it. And James did a great job Monday night of that. So hopefully we keep doing that.
Now you guys get ready to, short week here, but you head out to Denver, a place that hasn't been, you know, particularly kind to the Patriots. What is going to make this one different? What is the challenges going against Denver, and how can you guys make this one different?
They're a great team. They have a great defense. A lot of great players on defense. You know, Von Miller, obviously one of the best players in the league. So we're going to have our hands full. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we know we can do. We're a confident team, and we feel good about this one. We just got to have a great week of preparation and give it all we got on Sunday.
Now, you didn't get a chance to play in the two games, out there last year. And some running backs have had some success. They've had some struggles stopping the run, as good as they are on defense. And, you know, maybe getting out in space. Do you guys, you know, you and James at all, you know, you look kind of the opportunities you might be able to get out in linebackers and make some plays against this tough defense?
For sure. Whatever the game plan is, we're going to execute it. And whenever us running backs get a great matchup to make a play for our team, we're definitely going to do our best to do that.
And as usual around here, the Patriots are always in the thick of the playoff race, and you have a chance to lock down the AFC East with a victory on Sunday. Is that something that's been on your mind at all?
The only thing we worry about right now is just coming out a Sunday with a win. That's our main focus on Denver, and all our focus on them right now, and we've got a great challenge ahead of us.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time for your questions here in PFW, but as always, the Wilson Heart Power Index comes first.
Can't wait.
You know what else comes first? Tom Brady and the Patriots. 11-2, 5.5 index number, a full 2 points ahead of the number two team. So as Paul likes to say,
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Head and shoulders above the rest of the league. Chiefs, Raiders, Cowboys, Broncos round out your top five. You guys okay with that? And you look down the bottom, continue to be perfect. All the teams that have been eliminated from the playoffs are in the basement. 27 through 32, Bears through Browns, you're out.
He's bragging because he says bad teams are bad.
He can pick the bottom.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be bad if it said a team that was eliminated from the playoffs was like seven?
Well, like
we know what we're
Denver's
doing.
Like
it proves
five, and
Wilson
like
Hart always right.
Yeah. All right, now your questions. The first one comes from Ray Rencourt. And basically he wants to know if the Patriots clinch a bye by the last week of the season, should and will Garoppolo get the start? Because he thinks that will enhance his trade value.
Yeah, it is a little interesting this year because of that wrinkle that gets added into it. My guess is that Brady will start because that's what Brady does. He plays football on Sundays in general. But much like a couple of years ago when Garoppolo came in, I think that Buffalo game, I want to say, Garoppolo played the bulk of that game. I would probably expect to see something like that. But it is interesting because you could make the argument, best interest of the football team, not just to rest your guy, but to get this guy showcased and see if you want to move in that direction.
Yeah,
in the
I'd be stunned if Brady didn't start. Absolutely stunned.
Totally.
If he's going to start in preseason games when he's going to miss a month, he's certainly going to start when he has to play in the playoffs. And we know Bill thinks that bye week and then sitting out the last week is too much time off for a guy. So my guess would be plays first half, Garoppolo second half, best of both worlds.
FB wants to know, while we Patriots fans won't complain about the Ravens losing two of the best playmakers in the secondary to injuries, especially with Gronk and Amendola out, is it really fair to say the Patriots beat an elite defense? Wouldn't the next game, if the Patriots win it in Denver, be the first win over an elite D?
Well, I don't know, because you're going to change the rules as that game plays out probably too. I think this is a good win. I'm sorry. I think they made a lot of plays. Again,
if you can't overcome a couple guys getting hurt, then you're not elite.
But they did it in all phases. They ran the ball a little bit against the number one run defense. They were better than 50% against a team that's the best in the NFL in third down defense. They made big plays. They made short plays. I give them credit for an impressive performance against a good defense.
Absolutely an elite defense. And why we always have to take away credit after the fact is beyond me. And I know a lot of people going into the game were telling me how overrated the Ravens were and how overrated the Ravens secondary in particular was. Maybe that was true. Maybe they were thin and this was proof of it that they're missing a few guys. Fact remains they were at the top of the league in a variety of categories. The Patriots have been in similar situations and we're talking about how good their defense has been playing. This was an elite defense and the Patriots offense made them look
bad. This should be a psychological study. Why do Patriots fans kind of want to take away from their own team's accomplishments? Makes no sense.
Robert Miles says, besides Brady, who has been the MVP for the Patriots? I personally think James White.
I did not see that one.
Interesting take.
No.
I was going to go outside the box and say James White, but not really believe
it. If there had been a running back, I think you could certainly go with LeGarrette Blount for what he has done to give you almost every game. He gives you 18 to 20 carries, having a career year, touchdowns, or outside the box, Dante Scarnecchia for the work he's done to turn around that line and Marcus Cannon. Defensively, I think you could go with a guy like Malcolm Butler, who's been a guy that they've had to work around the whole year. Hightower. There's a lot of guys.
I think if it's not Brady, it's got to be Blount.
I think that's a fine vote.
I would agree.
I would never
over the course of the year.
Yes. I would agree.
Yeah. And I was a big believer midway through. I gave him that midway MVP because of the load he carried for the young quarterbacks in the first month.
Yeah, and I went with Brady. So if I'm taking Brady out of the equation, I'm probably the most stubborn guy, certainly on this panel. It's got to be Blount.
All right, it's not James Devlin.
It could be. Did you see that nice attempt to catch a pass?
Yeah, I did. All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.